Sabbath blessing, everyone, on this beautiful Sabbath on my side. It's very sunny and the sky is very clear. I hope you have better weather wherever you are. This is our review of our chapter 80 entitled In Joseph's Tomb. This is our part 4. On this June 15, 2024, this is our review for lesson 410. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. And we are going to ask our dear brother once more to bless us with the Tiny Top theme song. It's a hymn entitled Give of Your Best to the Master.
Sabbath blessing, my dear daughter.
Sabbath blessing, my father.
There we go. I started singing without the mic. Give of your best to the master. Give of the strength of your youth. Throw your soul's fresh glowing ardor into the battle for truth. Jesus has set the example. Dauntless was he, young and brave. Give him a your loyal devotion, give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the master, give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth. Give of your best to the master, give him first place in your heart, give him first place in your service, consecrate every part. Give and to you will be given, God his beloved son gave. Gratefully seeking to serve him, give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the master, give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth. Give of your best to the master, naught else is worthy his love. He gave himself for your ransom, gave up his glory above. Laid down his life without murmur, you from sin's ruin to save. Give him your heart's adoration, give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the master, give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. If any one of the little ones, by the help of their parent or elder sibling, would like to open the review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please protect the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall they labor, do all thy work, and the seventh day, the Sabbath of the Lord, and I do not know work. And please protect everybody that I, please protect this Sabbath work, Sabbath bows for work. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This is the time that we are going to hear all the blessing that the little one has been in their household, to their mom and their dad, or neighbors or family members. If you would like to share, dear ones, may you unmute your mic to do so.
Shout of blessings, everyone. For today's Mommy's and Daddy's Little Blessing, I'd like to highlight Haley and Emma. I'm highlighting them by the grace of God for their willingness to help, not just me, but to others that they come around. And I pray that the Lord will continue to lead them and guide them in this way and keep them according to His perfect will.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Even though my son is no longer a little one, but I also want to give thanks that the Lord has used my son in ways where the families, neighbors, and anyone that need of him, he's been borrowed and spent, and he's able to help those that are willing to let him be able to help. And I want to thank God for that, that even though he's older, he's still able to be kind to those that are needed to have kindness in their life. And if anybody else would like to share, dear one. We will continue. It is time for our little ones to be able to have the review section of their story. This is part 5, which is the last part of chapter 18 entitled Before Annas and Caiaphas. In our study book, the story about Jesus, and I will hand it to our dear brother to share.
All right, the Bible verses for our lessons are taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 26. What think ye? The high priest said. They, the other members of the councils, said, he's guilty of death. Seeing them shouting there in the right-hand picture, they're ready to put him to death. Then did they spit in his face. Oh, my, I would hate to be that person in the judgment day. And buffeted him. I think they pushed him around and hit him, maybe. And others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Next slide. And they'll remember that, too, in the judgment. At daybreak, Jesus was again brought before his judges, and the final sentence of condemnation was pronounced. They were trying to be legal, see. They knew they shouldn't have tried him at night, and so to make it legal, they had to retry him during the daylight hours. Satanic fury took possession of the leaders and the people. The roar of voices was like that of wild beasts. Can you imagine? They made a rush for Jesus, crying, he's guilty! Put him to death! And if it had not been for the soldiers, or the police, in other words, you know, they were there to keep the peace, he would have been torn to pieces. But Roman authority interposed and by force of arms restrained the violence of the mob. Not that they didn't do similar later on in his trial. Priests and rulers and the rabble joined in abusing the Savior. An old garment was thrown over his head, and his persecutors struck him in the face, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is it that hit thee? you did right when you went to that next one. Yes. Who is it that smote thee? Matthew 26:28. Jesus could very well have named that person, but he didn't. When the garment was removed, one of the mocking throng spat in the Savior's face. That is, probably was more a more of a humiliating thing back then than now to spit in someone's face. Angels of God faithfully recorded every insulting look, word, and act against their beloved commander. One day, those base men who scorned and spat upon the calm, pale face of Christ will look upon it in its glory, shining brighter than the sun. This is taken from The Story of Jesus, page 117, by Ellen White.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brothers. So next Sabbath, we'll begin a new chapter of our lesson number 19 entitled Judas in our tiny thought lesson book, The Story About Jesus. And that will take place, I believe, the 22nd of June, 2024. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. I will pass the mic again to our dear brother to review the questions.
All right, in review of what we just read, what happened at daybreak?
The answer to number one is he was again brought before his judges.
Yes, he was brought again before his judges. They had tried him at night twice already, once before Annas and once before Caiaphas. But so that they would look like they were doing right. They brought him to in front of a jury, as it were, during the daylight hours, because they were never supposed to try anybody in the night. What took possession of the leaders and the people?
The answer is to number two. A satanic theory.
Yes, can you imagine when the Holy Spirit doesn't control our hearts, the terrible things that can come out of our mouths? A satanic fury possessed them. What did the angels of God faithfully record?
The answer to number three is every insulting look, word, that an act against their beloved commander.
Yes, they recorded what was happening. That's the way they do today when we are speaking, whether we are happy or whether we are angry. The angel is recording what we say. And like these people, when Jesus comes, they're going to remember what they did and realize that that's what's cost them eternal life. And that's what can happen to us if we don't surrender our hearts to Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. Back to you, Bill.
Amen. It is time for Tiny Talk and our parents and guests and those in other devices to review our lesson from last Sabbath of our topic, Mammals of the Bible. And let's have a listening ears, little one, for our dear brother Josh will be the one to share.
Stop listening, everyone. Here's today's lesson. Our Bible verses for our lesson 6 review is taken from the book of Luke chapter 18. And it is lesson 2, Teach Us to Pray. And verses 13-14 says, And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The Pharisee and the Publican. The publicans had gone to the temple with other worshippers, but he soon drew apart from them as unworthy to unite in their devotions. Staying afar off, he would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast in bitter anguish and self-abhorrence. He felt that he had transgressed against God, that he was sinful and polluted. He could not expect even pity from those around him, for they looked upon him with contempt. He knew that he had no merit to commend him to God, and in utter self-despair he cried, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He did not compare himself with others. Overwhelmed with a sense of guilt, with his guilt, he stood as if alone in God's presence. His only desire was for pardon and peace. His only plea was for the mercy of God, and he was blessed. I tell you, Christ said, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. The Pharisee and the publican represent two great classes in which those who come to worship God are divided. Their first two representatives are found in the first two children that were born into the world. Cain thought himself righteous, and he came to God with a thank offering only. He made no confession of sin and acknowledged no need of mercy. But Abel came with the blood that pointed to the Lamb of God. He came as a sinner, confessing himself lost. His only hope was the unmerited love of God. The Lord had respect to his offering, but to Cain and his offering he had no respect. The sense of need, the recognition of our poverty and sin, is the very first condition of acceptance with God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:30, Christ's Object Lessons, pages 151, 152. He says, as on top, on the left, what word can be found in the word Pharisee, or see me? What does this say about him? What word describes the publican? And he felt unworthy. This will end lesson two, entitled Teach Us to Pray. Review lesson one, the Lord's Prayer, two, bread, three, depths and temptation, four, position and prayer, five, the humble prayer, six, the Pharisee and the publican. And a mammal's body systems part two review is the nervous system and the respiratory system. And it says above this picture of a sloth mother and her baby, like the sloth, we can be calm. And on the picture with the gazelle, we need to be quick to obey the movings of the Holy Spirit, like the gazelle. And over here is the anatomy of a dolphin, compared with the anatomy of a human. Here is a picture of the dolphin's head, in its brain. It's the auditory nerve, and the nasal air sac, which leads to the blowhole. The melon and the ear bones and the fat-filled cavity. Below is more picture, is the brain, the cranial nerves, the medial nerve, cranial nerves, medial nerve, the subcervical, the ganglion, the thoracic nerves, spinal cord, digestive nerve, coeliac nerves, the lumbar nerves, and the caudal nerves. And the picture of a human nervous system is the brain, the central nervous system, the spinal cord, the ganglii, the ganglia, the nerves, and the blue peripheral nervous system. Next is the dolphin's and the human's respiratory system. Up top is the blowhole where water gets sprouted out of the dolphin's head and when they need to come up to the air to breathe. And then there's the pharynx, the muscle splinter, the esophagus, the larynx, and one, two tubes, one being to the stomach and the other to the lungs. Below is more. It's another diagram. So there's again the blowhole, the anterior bursa, the melon, the upper and lower jaws, the phonic lips, and the posterior bursa. And next is the human in the diagram of the respiratory system beginning from the head. There's the nasal cavity, the lips, the jaws, the tongue, the palate, the oral cavity, the pharynx, the epiglottis, the larynx, opening into the larynx itself, and the esophagus below. And below is the is another diagram of a dolphin's body, but explaining how the respiratory system works. One is vapors inhaled through the blowhole. Two, it enters the lungs. Three, it enters circulatory system through pulmonary circulation or travel to the heart. Four, they enter the arterial circulation and travel to the entire body intact. What can we learn from our nature walk experience, dear little ones? Let's use our listening ears, little ones. Over here are our list of all the iris flowers. Here is a list from the smallest to the largest. The smallest one is the red pixie, is the miniature dwarf bearded iris. Its measurement is 4 to 8 inches tall. Next is the standard dwarf bearded iris for the autumn jester. Its height is about 8 to 16 inches tall. Next are these yellow iris. They're the intermediate bearded iris. Their measurement is 16 to 27 and a half inches tall. Then there's the miniature tall bearded iris. Its measurement is also 16 to 27 and a half inches tall. Then there's these peach colored ones called the anaconda love. This is the border bearded iris. Its measurement is the same as the other two, 16, 27 and a half inches. Okay, and finally, we in about town. This is the tall bearded iris, and its measurement is the largest. It's 28 inches high, and it can even grow higher or past that, depending on the environment. Below is the title of the bearded iris anatomy. First, there's the standard, then there's the beard, and then there is the fall. So the petals that are drooping on the outside. And the types of bearded iris. You may be surprised to know that there is more to bearded irises than the tall varieties. Look over the chart above to see how they're broken into six groups based on bloom time, plant height, and flower size. They all have the same care and needs, so it's easy to combine them for weeks of beautiful flowers, even months if you include a few rebloomers from each group. In general, the larger the plant, the later in spring it blooms. When you're browsing catalogs, you might see the acronyms listed in the parentheses of each name listed below. Next is the next art is a picture of a birch tree. And the info says it is next to a big birch trees, genus Betula, a flower medium sized deciduous trees with thin papery bark and egg shaped pointed leaves. Birch trees have spectacular fall colors that can be golden yellow, vibrant orange, or fiery red. Common birch trees get their names from the bark's distinctive colors, which can be white, silver, black, gray, or yellow. Common species of birch include the white birch, silver birch, and paper birch. Typically, you can identify birch trees by their bark, leaves, and flowers. For example, some birches have thin, peeling bark that exfoliates in long strips, whereas some species don't peel. Also, birch leaves can be egg-shaped, triangular, or diamond-shaped. Next is the picture of the deer, as we see from the from near the beginning of another presentation. And deer have a very interesting history in Ohio. Before European settlement, when Ohio was 95% forested, deer were not super abundant. They are edge animals, not animals of the deep primeval forest. As the forests were cleared, deer quickly expanded their populations around those clearings. Psalm 42:1 says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." Deer. In 1988, the white-tailed deer was named the official state mammal of Ohio. Pretty fascinating here. And finally, is on the left is the picture of a tree swallow, and here's the info about it below. It says tree swallows are highly social, forming large migratory wintry flocks, and pairs often nest close together, particularly where nest boxes are numerous. Yeah. Okay, this is the picture of the rose garden at Lakeview Park, Lorain, Ohio. It's one of the many places is that I loved visiting back when I lived there. It says here that the Rose Garden at Lakeview Park was originally dedicated on May 30th, 1932, and was sponsored by 17 community organizations, including the Lorain Rotary. The shape of the garden, a wheel with eight spokes, is the Rotary Club emblem. Approximately 2,500 roses are planted in 48 beds with connecting walkways, completing in the rotary wheel and spokes. And below are pictures of Sister Christina's family's pets, Sister Letizia's dog, Miss Prada, and Sister Gabby's pet cat, Soul. And here is anatomy of the fish. In the diagram below shows all the body parts of the fish. We see the mouth, the nostril, the eye, the scales, the gill cover, the gill opening, the pelvic fin, the spiny dorsal fin, the pectoral fin, the anal fin, the soft dorsal fin, the lateral line, and the caudal fin, which is the tail. It says here that God cares for the fish in the great oceans, lakes, rivers, and streams. He cares for me. And not just the writer or who wrote the info about it, but all of us as well. Anyone who trusts, loves, and believes in God is who He cares for. And it says above the picture, As the ocean teems with fish, so the world is teeming with people. Yet God sees and calls each individual in different ways, as he called Saul on the road to Damascus. He also knows your name and your needs. And on the right side of the picture says, fish need oxygen to live. There is oxygen in the water, and most fish get it by using their gills. The blood inside their gills takes the oxygen from the water. To keep a connection with heaven, one must have the Holy Spirit, the breath of life. Stephen had such a connection. The fish takes a big gulp of water, then closes its mouth. This pushes the water between the gills. The blood in the gills takes the oxygen. Next, the blood carries the oxygen through the body, and water goes out through the gill opening. In this anatomy of the stingray, we see the eye, the spiracle, pectoral fin, the pelvic fin, and the claspers. Below and above on the right, they both have insight and meaning and info concerning the stingray. It says here that the tail of a stingray is used for both stinging. If they have one or more sharp spines, like an arrow, on the tail, which they use for defense. The spines are connected to a poison sac, and their sting is very painful. The wrong spirit, such as the council that tried Stephen, were like stinging spines. It says, Satan was attacking the church and trying to cause problems among the members, but the Holy Spirit helped gave helpful counsel. The church work was reorganized so no one would have their needs overlooked. Murmuring words are poisonous. Then next, you see the diagram of a shark. And it says here that sharks are fish, and they are. We see the shark's first dorsal fin, the pectoral fin, which is paired, the other ones on the other side, although it's already blocked from view. The pelvic fin, also paired. The anal fin, the second dorsal fin, the caudal fin, the tail, the upper lobe, and the lower lobe. It says here below that sharks, chimeras, and rays have a skeleton of cartilage. Cartilage is soft bone that can bend a little, but it's still very tough. Believe it or not, cartilage is even on us, through our noses and our ears. But continuing, sharks and rays are covered with lots of tiny scales that are half buried in the skin. They live mainly in salt water. There are about 790 species in this group and come in many sizes and shapes. It says, well, the picture of the stingray. Usually fish will never attack a human being. A few that will are certain sharks, the hammerhead and great white sharks in particular. Barracudas and more eels may attack if provoked. Some fish that could harm humans if they come in contact are stingrays and stonefish because of their poisonous spines. Continue our reference reading for the mountains of the Bible for our lesson review. Take from our youth study book, Christ Object Lessons, Chapter 13, Two Worshippers, Part 2. The Pharisee and the publican represent two great classes into which those who come to worship God are divided. The first two representatives are found in the first two children that were born into the world. Cain thought himself righteous, and he came to God with a thank offering only. He made no confession of sin and acknowledged no need of mercy. But Abel came in with the blood that pointed to the Lamb of God. He came as a sinner, confessing himself lost. His only hope was the unmerited love of God. The Lord had respect to his offering, but to Cain and his offering he had not respect. The sense of need, the recognition of our poverty and sin, is the very first condition of acceptance with God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:3. For each of these classes represented by the Pharisee and the publican, there is a lesson in the history of the Apostle Peter. In his early discipleship, Peter thought of himself strong, like the Pharisee. In his own estimation, he was not as the other men are. When Christ, on the eve of his betrayal, forewarned his disciples, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night," Peter confidently declared, "Although all shall be offended, yet will not I." Mark 14:27-29. Peter did not know his own danger. Self-confidence misled him. He thought himself able to withstand temptation. But in a few short hours, the test came, and with cursing and swearing, he denied his Lord. Christ's Object Lesson in Speech, 151, paragraph. 152, paragraph 1 and paragraph 2. When the crowing of the cock reminded him of the words of Christ, surprised and shocked at what he had just done, he turned and looked at his master. At that moment, Christ looked at Peter, and beneath that grieved look in which compassion and love for him were blended, Peter understood himself. He went out and wept bitterly. That look of Christ broke his heart. Peter had come to the turning point, and barely did he repent his sin. He was like the publican in his contrition and repentance. Like the publican, he found mercy. The look of Christ assured him of his pardon. Christ's Object Lessons, page 152, paragraph 3. And here are three bonus questions we do. Question one is, it's an instruction. Describe the publican. The answer is in Luke 18:13-14. 2. Was Cain or Abel like the publican? The answer is in Christ's Object Lessons, page 152. And 3. Who reverenced God, the Pharisee or the publican? And we will answer that one, but it's for you to answer the question. And I'll turn the mic off to Mama.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to apologize. I was reading through audio the book of Ezekiel, so it came on without any kind of way for me to know. So I apologize for that behind the noise. Remember, little ones, give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Glad in salvation, full armor, join in the battle for truth. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. If you would like to share the hymn, dear ones, to the opening of our family meeting review, you may be able to unmute your mic to do so. Our hymn is entitled, Because He Lives, and you can find it in the hymn book, number 526. God sent His Son, they call Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He live and die to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I give face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
How sweet the heart, a newborn baby, and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the comforter, this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future. Life is worth the living just because he lives. And life is just worth the living just because he lives. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. No matter what is going on in the world, just remember that, little ones. If any one of the little one, mommies or daddies, or even our guests, would like to open the review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for making us up for this morning. And please protect us. Please protect me and my mommy and my daddy. And my uncles and my other uncles. And please protect the Sabbath word that we're going to learn. And please protect everybody that I know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome to all the precious family that are coming in. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from Colossians chapter 3. Verses 1 through 4, King James Version, margin. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. For ye are dead, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. For ye are dead, for ye are dead, and your life is hid in Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. For ye are dead. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. For ye are dead, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones? We are going to take a few minutes to reread our first part of our part 4 of our lesson entitled, In Joseph's Tomb, In our study book, The Desire of Ages, welcome to the precious family that are coming in. Who would like to take the first paragraph they want? We are in this Desire Ages, page 773, continuing.
The Desire of Ages, page 773. Continuing, neither Joseph nor Nicodemus had openly accepted the Savior while he was living. They knew that such a step would exclude them from the Sanhedrin, and they hoped to protect him by their influence in its councils. For a time they had seemed to succeed, but the wily priests, seeing their favor to Christ, had thwarted their plans. In their absence, Jesus had been condemned and delivered to be crucified. Now that he was dead, they no longer concealed their attachment to him.
Continuing, while the disciples feared to show themselves openly as his followers, Joseph and Nicodemus came boldly to their aid. The help of these rich and honored men was greatly needed at this time. They could do for their dead master what it was impossible for the poor disciples to do, and their wealth and influence protected them, in a great measure, from the malice of the priests and rulers. Fire of Ages, page 773, paragraph 4.
Gently and reverently, they removed with their own hands.
Gently
and reverently, they removed with their own hands the body of Jesus from the cross. Their tears of sympathy fell fast as they looked upon his bruised and lacerated form. Joseph owned a new tomb hewn in a rock. This he was. Want to read? This?
Yes.
He was.
Was.
Preserving.
Preserving.
For.
For.
Himself.
Himself.
But.
But. Is
was
near me
Calvary
and he now
prepared
is
it
before
Jesus,
the
body,
louder.
No, speak louder.
Together,
with
the
spices
brought
by
Nicodemus.
Was
carefully
wrapped
in a
linen
sheet.
Next slide, please. Good. There we go. Continuing. Come on. Continuing.
And the
Redeemer
as
Uno
was
born
to the bird.
No, look at the word. Tomb.
There. The
three
disciples straightened
the
mangled
limbs and
folded
the
bruised
hands upon the
pulseless. Mm-hmm. Breast. The
Galilean
woman
came to see that had been
done
that could be done for the
lifeless form
of
there two words together. Be loved. Mm-hmm. Teacher.
Then any.
They.
Saw. The.
Heavy. Stone.
Rolled.
Against
the.
Entrance
of the beginning.
Nope. Same word up there. Tomb.
And the
Savior. Mm-hmm.
At what was
left
at
rest.
Next slide, please.
Good.
My turn.
Girl, somebody else's turn.
Continuing, the Desire of Ages, page 774. The women were last at the cross and last at the tomb of Christ. While the evening shades were gathering, Mary Magdalene and the other Marys lingered about the resting place of their Lord, shedding tears of sorrow over the fate of him whom they loved. And they returned and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Luke 23:56. Desire of Ages, page 774, paragraph 1. And it says below on the right, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Exodus 28.
The one where, that was a never to be forgotten Sabbath to the Saturday disciples and also to the priests, rulers, scribes, and people. At the setting of the sun on the evening of the preparation day, the trumpet sounded signifying the Sabbath had begun. The Passover was observed as it has been for centuries. Rahi, to whom it pointed, had been slain by wicked hands and delayed in Joseph's tomb on the Sabbath. Other courts of the temple are filled with worshipers. Next slide, please.
You need to slow down. Continuing. The high priest from
Golgotha
was there, splendidly robed in his sacred garments. White turban priests, full of activity, performed their duties. But some present were not at rest as the blood of bulls and goats were offered for sin. They were not conscious that type had met anti-type. That the infinite sacrifice had been made for the sins of the world. They knew not that there was no further value in performance of ritual services. Next slide, please. Continuing. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, but never before had that.
But never before.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to read?
Okay. But never before.
But never before.
Had that service.
But that
service. Had that service.
Had that service.
Been witnessed.
Been witnessed.
With such.
With such.
Conflicting.
Conflicting.
Feelings.
Feelings.
The trumpets.
The trumpets.
And.
And.
Musical.
Musical.
Instruments.
Instruments.
Had.
Had.
I mean, and.
And.
The voices.
The voices.
Of the singers.
Of the singers.
Were as.
Were as.
Loud.
Loud.
And.
And.
Clear.
Clear.
As.
As.
Usual.
Usual.
But.
But. A.
Sense.
Sense.
Of.
Of.
Strangeness.
Strangeness.
Pervaded. Pervaded.
Pervaded.
Everything.
Everything.
One after.
One after.
Another.
Another.
Inquired.
Inquired.
About.
About.
A strange.
Strange.
Event.
Yeah.
That had.
That had.
Taken place.
Had taken place.
Next slide, please.
Continuing, Sarvesh, page 774. Hitherto, the most holy place had been sacredly guarded from intrusion, but now it was open to all eyes. The heavy veil tapestry made of pure linen and beautifully wrought with gold, scarlet, and purple was rent from top to bottom, the place where Jehovah had met with the high priest to communicate his glory. Next slide, please. The place that had been God's sacred audience chamber lay open to every eye, a place no longer recognized by the Lord. With gloomy presentiments, the priest ministered before the altar. The uncovering of the sacred mystery of the most holy place filled with dread of coming calamity. Zarvedas, page 774, paragraph 2.
Amen. Good job, everyone. So what we have learned and ways we have grown. We are going to reread the questions that we held from last Sabbath. For those that are not able to see the screen, they can be able to hear. And if you are moved to share with the remnant family, dear ones, the answer to the question, may you unmute your mic to do so. The first one is, who is the main character or characters? Number two is, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number three, where did the story take place? Number four, when did the story begin? Number five, how could you relate to the story? And the last one is, what did you learn from this lesson? If you are able to type it in the room or not, may you open your mic to be able to share, dear ones. Who will take the first question?
Who is the main character or characters? Nicodemus, Joseph, Jesus, priests, scribes, Pharisees, and disciples.
You can answer the question too, what is the main idea for the six-year-old story? Joseph and Nicodemus burying Jesus' body before the Passover.
Number three, the story is taking place at this time, first on the cross and then to the tomb.
The answer to question four, when did the story begin? Joseph and Nicodemus doubtfully accepted the Lord or the Savior while he was living. Okay, my answer to question five, how do you relate to the story? The ultimate sacrifice had been offered and ritual services weren't needed. Since Christ was officially the Lamb of God, so to speak, his death had already come to pass as of the cross. Then his mission to save all sinners from their sins in the world was finally completed, and the sacrifices that was usually done in the temple or even before the temple was ever even built. The type had met the antitype, and everything that was told prophecy came true at last at that time.
So how can you relate to the story? The story number four has so many hidden for us to be able to take into consideration. Even though that the Lord was with the disciples, at the time when the disciple needed to be able to stand for the Lord, they couldn't do it because there were so many things against them. The government that was under these people, and also the fear that they had because of the impact of his death. But the Lord also had hidden the work that he had done with Nicodemus and Joseph Arimathea. So when other disciples were not able to stand for him, he still had others that will come up and do the work that was needed to the glory of God. Sometimes things may not come in the way that you expect, but the Lord has not left you. He will use his work in the strange way, the Bible says, but it's in perfect harmony with what it is that he wants with all our lives. Also, the amount of things that needed to be fulfilled is so beautiful that the Savior did such an ultimate price for all of us, and yet the Father had provided for him that he may be buried as a king. It is just so amazing the way how the work of God and the plan of redemption is. We really truly don't know the magnitude. We just have to continue having faith, knowing that the Lord will not leave us even in the most trying time. And that's what I can be able to relate of the story. Who would like to take number six, dear ones?
Question six is, what did you learn from this lesson? I learned that as Jesus was buried, his goal was accomplished in his quest to save us from sin was already coming to pass, and this is the first or is half of how the prophecy is supposed to end.
I just would like to add to that, like what was said before, that even though when the Lord died and the disciples were not able to aid him in the way that they would like, God the Father still did provide. He was worthy of a burial as a king, and the Lord the Father provided in the way of Joseph and Nicodemus, for him to be put away properly in the way that he deserved. And that says to me that God would provide in all circumstances and situations, even though we may not know how.
Earlier, before we started our study, our dear Brother Dick was sharing with us that there is going to come a time that we are going to go before official or in the court in whatever way we are called to be able to glorify God. That is very important to be able to study. The purpose of studying is not only for us to know what we need to learn, but it's also going to deposit in us what is necessary for the Holy Spirit are going to use those things. He's going to use the truth to be able to bring it forth. And in this particular six verses, what did you learn from this lesson? I saw what it was that he was sharing with us that was even seen in this part four. Joseph of Arimathea went before Pilate. And even though that there was a hesitance for many of the disciples to go before Rome, the Lord had given him not only the courage, but also the ability to speak to him, that he may give him the authority to remove the body. Because in that time, if you remember what Brother Dick had shared with us through the little story for the children, you couldn't take a criminal's body without the consent of those that had actually brought about the condemnation. So it is so amazing that in these last days, we don't really know in what way we are going to be called to be able to stand for him. But just remember the story, and just remember that there is heavenly watchers, the eyes of the Godhead that is watching every step. And it doesn't matter where you are, even if you may think that you're alone, you're really not alone. For the Lord is upon each and every one of us, and I wanted to share that. Anybody else would like to share before we move on? Okay, we are going to continue, dear ones. We have thoughts, poem, and also favorite music. This thought is taken from a devotional book from the Spirit of Prophecy. And the book is The Counsels to Parents, Teachers, and Students. This is chapter 6. Entitled, A Failure to Study God's Word, page 438, paragraph 1 to 4, and also page 439, paragraph 1. Our opening scripture is taken from the book of Psalms 86, verse 11, King James Version. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. The devotional book was the one that I had came about, but I like to take it from the book itself, so I went to see the actual book to give us the thought. Who would like to take the first paragraph here once?
That which is in the counsels of heaven, the Father and the Son, deemed essential for man's salvation, is clearly presented in the Holy Scripture. The infinite truths of salvation are stated so plainly that finite beings who desire to know the truth cannot fail to understand. Divine revelations have been made for their instruction in righteousness, that they may glorify God and help their fellow men. Page 438, paragraph.
These truths are found in the Word of God and standard by which we are the judge between right and wrong. Obedience to the Word is the best shield for the youth against the temptations to which they are exposed while acquiring education. From this Word, they learn how to honor God and how to be faithful to humanity, cheerfully performing the duties and meeting the trials that each day brings, and courageously bearing its burden. Page 438, paragraph 2.
Christ, the great teacher, sought to win the minds of men from the contemplation of earthly things that he might teach them of heavenly things. Had the teachers of his day been willing to be instructed by him, had they united with him and sown the world with the seeds of truth, the world would be far different from what it is, what it now is. Had the scribes and Pharisees joined their forces with the Savior, the knowledge of Christ would have restored the moral image of God in their souls. Psalm 438, paragraph 3.
But the leaders of Israel turned from the fountain of true knowledge. They studied the scriptures only to sustain their traditions and enforce their man-made observances. By their interpretation, they made sentiments that God had never given. Physical construction made in distinct that which he had made plain. They disputed over technicalities and practically denied the most essential truths. God's word was robbed of its power and evil spirits worked their will. Page 438,
paragraph 4. Christ's words contain nothing that is not essential. The Sermon on the Mount is a wonderful production, yet so simple that a child can study it without misunderstanding. The Mount of Bounties is a symbol of the spiritual elevation on which Christ ever stood. Every word he uttered came from God, and he spoke with the authority of heaven. The words that I speak unto you, he said, they are spirit and they are life. John 6, verse 63.
His teaching is full of ennobling, saving truth to which men's highest ambitions and most profound investigations can bear no comparison. He was alive to the terrible ruin hanging over the race, and he came to save souls by his own righteousness, bringing to the world definite assurance of hope and complete relief. Counsels to Parents, Teachers, and Students, page 4939, paragraph 1.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I apologize for the computer, dear one. And the poem is entitled A Prayer for Help, taken from the Children Activity Book, Year 3, Quarter 2, Lesson 120, from the Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Number 1, Gentle Jesus, meek and lowly, bless, I pray, thy humble child. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit, guide me yet a little while.
Help me e'er to shun, dear Savior, all things that offensive be. Lead me in the path to heaven. Bring me, Savior, near to thee.
Number 3. Help me to obey the precepts. Honor thee in deed and word. Make me lowly, kindly, and gentle, although like my Lord.
Number 4. Then when the days of sin are ended and our sorrows all are old, grant me, Lord, a home in heaven on the bright celestial shore.
Where I'll worship and adore thee through a never-ending day, there in heaven with saints and angels, tune the everlasting lay.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Our special music is taken from the scripture singer song in section character building.
The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We have come to the ending of our children review section. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, that will be the 22nd of June, 2024, we are going to continue in our book with part 5 entitled In Joseph's Tomb. That will be lesson 411. If any one of the dear remnant family would like to close with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
May we bow our heads on our knees. Dear Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for bringing us once more to worship you on this blessed Sabbath day. We pray for each household at this time, that they might be enjoying and receiving all the blessing that you have provided for them. We pray for the little children, Father Jesus, and we continue to thank you for the blessing that they give us each Sabbath with their reading. Thank you for the parents as well. Be with every circumstance, I pray. We pray in a special way for our sister Danielle that has suffered very bad accident. We're uplifting her in prayer, Father Jesus, that she will heal completely, and also for the family, I pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this blessed Sabbath day. I pray that everyone is enjoying in their neck of the woods just because it's the Sabbath day. Be with us as we move to the second section of the studies. Be with the speaker. Bless us continuously, I pray. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. I just found out that something was wrong with Danielle. Danielle, we will be keeping you in prayer and the family as well. Before I read this particular ending of our study, I just want to have a small announcement. Dear ones, as we see a lot of the updates in different emails and all the policies that are happening, I'm not going to be able to send individuals the project, but I will be sending it to our dear brother, Elder Rob. And it will be in the website, and that is going to be the way to download it. They are limiting now the amount of information that is being sent. I'm working around it, but it seems like they are going to try to charge. And we will work as much as we can to be able to let the projects reach to each individual by God's grace. And I apologize. But those are the troubles that we were having to be able to send them to everybody. So may you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones. And from Isaiah 33:6, King James, it said, "And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. And from Patriots and Kings 83, paragraph 1, quote, here is the only safeguard for individual integrity, for the purity of the home, the well-being of society, or the stability of the nation. Amidst all life perplexity and dangers and conflicting claims, the one safe and sure rule is to do what God says. The statutes of the Lord are right, and he that does these things shall never be moved. Psalms 19, verse 8, and also Psalms 15, verse 5. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones, and God bless.